This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 7:16 on the evening edition with Kelvin and Hezril, and we're talking about how to reopen schools, essentially. The education minister, Razee Jidin, said that, you know, they're running some field trials now to see how to set SOPs. You know, they're looking at classrooms, how they can practice physical distancing. They're thinking about maybe 16 to 17 people per classroom.
That's
and
right.
In larger ones, maybe up to 20. Mm-hmm. So we're now crossing over to Melissa Gomez, co-founder of Edvolution Enterprise, to talk about some of the nitty-gritty details that comes with this. Edvolution Enterprise works with the Ministry of Education to promote reforms in schools. Currently, they're running a teacher empowerment for school transformation program in Perlis and Penang. Melissa, thanks so much for joining us today.
Yeah, no problem.
So you've been involved in discussions about SOPs for reopening schools in Penang. What are some of the considerations involved?
Okay, so before we talk about the SOPs, I think what has been really interesting that I have observed, or in fact my team and I have observed throughout this period of this crisis while working with the district officers and also school leaders, is the change of mindset that we look at. You know, 60 years of independent school leaders are really accustomed to taking instructions and also orders from the ministry. But at this situation where we find it's really an unprecedented moment where there's a need to problem solve fast, we have observed school leaders and also officers who are doing things very differently. And this is where the work comes very interesting, where we see leaders right now are taking an approach where they want to do it, an approach where it's really different from the norm. So here we see school leaders are thinking of ways, you know, not just waiting for the standard operating procedures from the ministry, but at their own capacity, at their own level, they are actually looking at how to resolve this issue when schools are going to be open eventually. So one of the things that our school leaders consider most as we work alongside is, how do they then train teachers to tackle the health and also the hygiene aspects. So, for example, we're working with a group of doctors who have actually volunteered themselves to train a group of teachers in the district to actually teach teachers, fellow peers in their schools, and also students and also parents on how to adopt proper health and hygiene guidelines. Not only that, we also see some of the school leaders are exploring various options in terms of the timetable. So they are looking at ways, you know, how do we move from the present timetable to a different type of timetable. And of course, prioritization of their curriculum goals and syllabus, where there are areas where, you know, they know that they are going forth with the current syllabus or the current goals might not be relevant at this point of time. They're also looking at aspects of building clear communication guidelines with parents, NGOs who are they're working with, who are helping them to navigate this true situation. And of course, the most important one where they're looking at is the physical distancing within the classes and also within the school areas.
Right, and on that note of physical distancing in schools, how do you think that can be done, especially given that some, you know, schools, classroom spaces, and so on and so forth may have an issue with overcrowding?
Yeah, so actually between from March to April 2020, we had a lot of discussion with the state, with the district, and also school leaders about some of the challenges that's been created by the pandemic and also what are some of the possible responses that we could include. And there was also 550 responses that we gathered from our teachers. And one of the things that stood out most from the findings that we found was that 84% of teachers have expressed concerns over students' health and safety. Now, we were thinking that teaching and learning would be their main concern, but right now we are seeing that their main concern is actually social distancing. Now, to answer your question, you know, how do we then do physical distancing in schools? Now, coming from, I work mainly 100% my schools are government schools. And if you know government schools, we have a capacity where a class can fit up to 30 to 45 students. And most government schools do not have the luxury of facilities within their school compound to accommodate small classes. So for us, in order to do physical distancing, it really requires a very systematic and agile plan, as its implications has spillover effects in many areas. So we actually work with the district and school leaders what we call a very simple four-step guideline, especially for schools who have high enrollment. So I work with schools that have two extremes. Schools that are very few students, as few as only 160 students for from 1 to 5. And I have schools where they have so many students, so about 1,200 students from remove classes up to from 6. So in these four-step guidelines that we work with the schools, the first thing first, school leaders and teachers will have to identify which classes would require that segregation . So we know, you have mentioned earlier, the minister is looking at about 16 to 17, or even 20 students in a class. So, and in these classes, we have got about 45 to about 50 students. So the first thing first, we work with school leaders is to identify which classes have got more than 30 kids. The second step, once they have identified that, then they will identify what are the possible spaces that are available in the schools that can be used for teaching. So, for example, besides classes, you know, are there availability of libraries, auditoriums, secondary halls, or any other spaces that is deemed appropriate for lessons to be carried out. Now, the third step would then require the school leaders and also the management to identify the number of teachers that are needed. So we're looking at possibilities where schools, where these classes, same class that will be separated into three classes, then that will pose an implication on the number of teachers that will be required. So that's something that the school leaders would have to identify the resources that is needed in order to teach a class. And last but not least, which is the last of the guideline, which is to identify what are the various options of our timetable. Mm-hmm. So in government schools, the ministry has got a circulars on what we call, one, schools are allowed to do what they call as a class bergilir, which means in a school, certain classes, let's say you're in Form 1, in Form 2, you can take turns to come to school. So you don't have to have all Form 1 to Form 5, everyone in one school. And if you hear what the minister has also mentioned, he says that most likely Form 5 and Form 6 will be going back to schools first. So in the event, if the lower forms or other classes were to return back to schools, then the class bergilir would be one option that it can be done. Now, the second one is where we look in terms of what we call a jadual anjal. Jadual anjal is a type of a timetable where school leaders and also the management have the autonomy to decide what would be key subjects of the day. Instead of having 7 to 9 subjects a day, they can actually choose 2 to 3 subjects and have that subjects on that particular days. So that's some of the things that schools who have an overcrowding of issue could actually work with to prevent overcrowdedness in the classes.
Right, and I guess Do you see this? You know, the common practice SOP is about physical distancing, right? It's what everyone has to practice right now. Do you see this having a big impact on the teaching and learning experience? Because students, whenever they get stuck, they do usually just approach the teacher for help.
Well, that's definitely because just to share with you, one of the things that we focus a lot is what we call social emotional learning. Or we have an assessment in the ministries. When we assess learning, teaching, and learning for students in Malay, we call it as a guru sebagai apengorong emosi. Now, in this aspect, it includes teachers giving praises, acknowledgement to students' work. That's one. The second is where teachers are being attentive to students' needs by walking around or attending to students' queries. Now, last year we interviewed about 1,300 students through a survey, and they have indicated that being socially connected in the classroom actually helps them to learn or to understand the lesson better. So with social distancing, we see that there's a possible where this element of teachers being attentive or teachers attending to students' questions and walking around, it's not going to be present. So definitely there's going to be a change in how students feel and also how students react in the learning process. Well, not just only students, but teachers themselves will also feel that difference. As a teacher, one of the key things that drives teaching and learning to be effective is the response of the students. So if we limit that responses from both sides of the individual, that's where we see teaching and learning will have an impact.
Now, under normal circumstances, PE sessions and recess breaks may include contact sports or other forms of play that children are so used to. So how will those norms have to change?
Yeah, so Before the movement control order was announced, there was already a circular from the ministry where there will be no outdoor activities to be held. And we also see that this circular will be effective even when school reopens. So one of the ideas that we're also exploring with school leaders and district leaders is how then we make PE sessions or lessons that are what we call that requires a lot of hands-on involvement, will bring a similar impact as to how they used to be previously. So one of the ideas for PE is to actually include what we call mental health programs into PE. So instead of focusing on the physical aspect, what normal PE sessions would do. Right now, PE sessions would include programs or syllabus that touches on mental health programs.
Right. And, I guess even some countries are looking at perhaps only starting schools for much older students first because they're easier to deal with. They understand the need for physical distancing and so on. And they're a bit more easier to manage. How would you talk to younger students about physical distancing and other precautionary measures that we have to take because of the pandemic?
Okay. I think for younger children, I have two kids. I have two toddlers. One is a toddler, one is a preschool. Mm-hmm. Initially, just to share from experience as a parent, it was really difficult to actually educate my 2.5-year-old and my 6-year-old on what, washing your hands, sanitizing your hands is all about. But I guess for younger children, it's all about consistency and also role modeling. So if younger children, if they are unable to go back to school, so that's where parents would have to play that role modeling. But if in school, we greatly encourage for teachers, especially with the primary ones, where we put them into what we call easy to do and high impact sharing. So, for example, teachers are encouraged to share content from social media. So this is where teachers will work as a group to identify what are some of the topics that will be relevant and important in terms of facing this crisis. And so that's why you see some of the schools in social media or even in the ministry, they have this, they have competitions on social media. It's to actually target the younger generation on educating them what to handle the situation. Now, in terms of what would be long term to educate our children, whether the smaller ones or the bigger ones, it's where we call it as a phase where it's not easy to do, but it has high impact. Mm. And this requires alignment of what we call aligning the curriculum goals and the content with the crisis. So it's about, for example, if you go through a lesson on, say, Pendidikan Civic, teachers will talk about social distancing, sanitization, so on and so forth. So those are some of the things that we think could actually work with students. But of course, it really depends on each school, on how the level of awareness of the students they have.
Melissa, thanks so much for speaking with us today.
No problem.
That was Melissa Gomez, co-founder of Evolution Enterprise. If you have any thoughts about the story, how do you feel about schools reopening? What SOPs do you want to see? You can let us know. 7733 2900 is the number to call. WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.